This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. There's no doubt that Texas Senator Wendy Davis is running for governor. She's making the official announcement in less than an hour up in Fort Worth, her hometown. Attorney General Greg Abbott is the Republican candidate, and he's already been actively campaigning for over a month. So who's going to win? Well, the latest edition of Texas Monthly is already calling it, with Abbott on the cover with the title The Gov. But is this election already over before it started? How is that a good thing for Texas? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. What do you think about these candidates that are being put forth? What issues do you want to see discussed in this election for Texas governor? Joining me to talk about that also is on the phone is Mark B. Jones. He's a professor of political science at Rice University. And in the studio, Henry Flores, a professor of political science at St. Mary's University. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you, Dave.
So let me ask you, Professor Jones, you write in the current issue of Texas Monthly that the candidacy of Wendy Davis could be a really good thing for the Republican Party of Texas. Tell us about that.
Well, I think when we see Wendy Davis's candidacy, what it might have the impact on the Republican Party is where it would make the race competitive and demonstrate to Republicans that if they continue to tilt towards the right of the political spectrum, which they have recently, that is focusing primarily on Republican primary voters, that that could eventually cause them to lose control of the state and return to their minority party status.
So Wendy Davis would be a wake-up call for them if this becomes
right.
A close election, that maybe they have gone halfway over the bridge too far, and maybe
right.
They need to return to the center to what we know from polling that the majority of Texans would actually appreciate. But right now they're only playing for primary voters, which are much further to the right than your general vote, election voter.
Exactly. What's happened in the Republican, in Texas politics is the key to victory is now via the Republican primary. And so it's not, you don't need to convince a majority of Texans to support you. You just need to win a majority of the vote of the approximately 1 to 1.5 million Texans who turn out in the GOP primary. And as you note, they're very conservative, far more conservative than the median Texan. And so a Wendy Davis, a successful race, if you're a Republican, you don't want her to win, but a successful race could cause Republicans to realize that if we continue down this rightward path, we're going to lose control. Now, not everyone's going to get that message. Some people say, like Ted Cruz, would probably continue to double down on the very conservative message. But others who are more pragmatic might see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, you can discuss this and come up with a great strategy, but how things play out in elections is completely different. So let me ask you, Professor Flores, what are we seeing in the latest polling data in regards to Wendy Davis and the challenge that she is presenting to Attorney General Greg Abbott?
Well, the recent Lyceum poll that was in the newspaper this morning shows an 8-point difference right now with Greg Abbott being ahead 29-21%. But that only represents 50% of all the poll, all the individuals polled. It was a poll of 1,000 individuals across the state. I was looking at the demographics of the poll, and what's interesting about them is that 72% of the individuals in the poll identified themselves as evangelical, fundamentalist, or born again. And so I'm wondering about what's interesting about it is it's also a little bit overrepresented as far as Republican identifiers are concerned. And if Greg Abbott at this point is only 8 points ahead of Wendy and Davis in a poll that's overly conservative, you kind of wonder what the electorate is thinking about. Obviously 50% of the people in this particular poll had no opinion one way or the other, and they hadn't made up their mind. It's still early in the election season. Matter of fact, Wendy Davis hasn't even announced yet. I understand she's going to announce this evening at 5:30. And so there's going to be a lot of different things in play still up here, but it's still very close early on. And so to me, I think it sends some interesting messages to the Republican Party, I would think, and maybe some messages of hope for the Democratic Party.
So, Professor Jones, do you see the same thing? You see that 50% of undecided, that is a sign to be encouraged if you're rooting for Wendy Davis to win?
Well, I think you have to, when we're looking at that poll, it's important to keep in mind that it's done a little differently than most polls in that it actually provided voters with a actual undecided option, which normally isn't mentioned. And then it also, it's not of likely voters, it's of registered voters. And what we know is that only about 40% of Texas registered voters will actually bother to turn out in November of 2014. So a large proportion of those undecided voters are not actually ever going to vote. If you're Wendy Davis, your hope is that you can somehow mobilize those non-voters or infrequent voters to turn out, and that could perhaps be the game changer you need to win. I don't think that's going to happen, but if hope springs eternal, that's where you're going to grasp for it.
So, Professor Flottis, Greg Abbott has been the Attorney General for, how long, 12 years, 13 years?
Yeah, 13 years, I think.
And so does he have name recognition? Do people know who he is? And does he have a lot of positives or negatives attached to him, do you think?
Oh, I think he does have name recognition, particularly in the conservative parts of the state. And as far as positives or negatives, it depends on who you are. For the conservatives, he's got a lot of positives. For the liberals and/or Democrats in the state, he's got a lot of negatives. He's taken positions on voting rights, and he's taken positions on different issues that have been very, very conservative. And so, to a certain extent, he's a bit of a controversial attorney general, and it's going to be interesting how he kind of plays with that coming out. If he takes extreme positions, and if there's a group of voters in the middle, particularly conservative, moderate Republicans who are sick and tired of extreme Republican rhetoric, this election may take on a whole different perspective out there.
And so, Professor Jones, what do you think about Greg Abbott and the way that he's presenting himself?
Well, he started off, when he looked at his campaign announcement, as somebody who looked like he was going to try to make broader appeals to the general electorate, that is, emphasizing the challenges he's faced in his past, not taking as strident issues, at least initially, emphasizing his wife's Hispanic background. Since then, he's sort of veered a little more towards his general comfort zone, which is being more the anti-Obama candidate and appealing to the Republican primary electorate. Right now, Tom Paulken and his principal challenger doesn't represent much of a challenge, and I think his campaign will try to steer a rightward course, but not go too far, and then once they've won the primary, begin to pivot a little bit back towards the center. And I think one thing that they are definitely going to try to avoid, and we'll see if they can do it successfully, is to both attack Wendy Davis, but in a way that doesn't feed into the general Democratic narrative that the Republicans are engaging in a war on women.
Right,
which is a difficult balancing act.
We're going to continue that. The number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980, 614-8980. What issues need to come up in this governor's race? We want to talk about that when we come back from the break. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the governor's race. It's a preview of the governor's race because later today it's expected that Senator Wendy Davis will announce that she is running for governor as a Democrat. Already we saw that Attorney General Greg Abbott, he announced here in San Antonio over a month ago that he is the Republican candidate. And he is, there are other candidates, but these are the guys who seem to be leading the charge. With me in the studio, Dr. Henry Flottis, professor of political science at St. Mary's University, and on the phone, Dr. Mark Jones. He's a professor of political science at Rice University. You know, when you have races for governor, that's when we can have these big conversations about what we want the state to be and what issues are important to us. And we really haven't had these because even in past gubernatorial races with Governor Rick Perry, he's managed to dodge, very high profile debates, and it never was really and just kind of play defense. So, I mean, have we missed out on that, Professor Jones?
Well, I think so. I mean, part of a healthy democracy is having a discussion, debate, and then also the possibility that the governing party, if it doesn't perform well, may lose. As Texas has become redder and redder over the past, redder and redder over the past two decades, it's lost that competitive edge, and perhaps many Republicans have become complacent, as well as not always focused on what is the best policy and have let ideology drive many decisions when sounder minds might have decided to pursue different policy options, say, people like Joe Strauss.
So, I mean, if we have the election conversation is red versus blue, basically brand loyalty, when we don't really have the discussion about issues about how, like whether or not we should have expanded Medicaid or not, as something as an example, I mean, that's something that could that would motivate people to vote one way or the other, aside from what's your favorite color. What do you think about that, Dr. Flores?
No, I agree. We haven't had a good public policy debates and elections at the top of the ticket in Texas in a while, and because most elections have been either dominated by rhetoric or they've been so one-sided, there's been no need to debate or no interest to debate. So I think if we get a real good competitive election, it would be a good time to have that discussion. I think the candidates would have to have them.
Okay, I got an email from someone saying, chastising me, saying that we have primary elections here in Texas. It's very possible that neither one of these guys will be on the general election ballot. So is that a concern? Dr. Flores, what do you think? Is Greg Abbott's the guy?
Oh, yeah. I think whoever sent that email in is correct. We do have primary systems here in the state of Texas, and they have to go through that first round. But Greg Abbott is so has got so much name recognition. He's got so much money in the bank, and he's a good politician. I don't think it's a second place is going to be pretty far back.
It's a runaway.
It's going to be a runaway.
And the same thing with Wendy Davis. Apparently, I don't even know who else with big name is signed up for that.
I think part of what the Democrats might be thinking to give them an opportunity to go after the Republicans is that they're going to have to keep as much money at home during the primaries and not spend it all and save it all for the general election. And I don't think there's going to be much competition at the top of the ticket elections for the Democrats in the primary. I think she's it.
Our phone lines are open. If you want to join the conversation, talk about the governor's race, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Or if it looks like it's going to be Attorney General Greg Abbott versus Wendy Davis, are you satisfied with those candidates, or where you want to have maybe the Libertarian candidate or the Green candidates in there as well? We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 614-8980. So, Professor Jones, we've got Battleground Texas now in Texas, and they're trying to turn this into a competitive state, turn Texas purple. Is that going to be a factor in the gubernatorial race?
I think it's still probably too early for Battleground Texas to bear much fruit in 2014. It's a much more medium and long-term strategy. It will be one of the first tests to see if Battleground Texas is at least moving things forward for the Democratic Party as opposed to being stuck in the mud. So if we see higher Hispanic turnout in particular, if we see higher turnout among young people, and we see them voting more Democratic, we might say that, okay, Battleground Texas may be bearing fruit. The risk that the Democratic Party always, of course, takes, I think for Democrats it's a risk worth taking, is that after Battleground Texas, after Wendy Davis, if Wendy Davis ends up winning the same proportion of the vote as Bill White does, that could really take the air out of the Democratic balloon and any efforts to turn Texas purple or blue within the next 5 to 10 years.
So they're looking to do better than 45%.
Oh, I would say if I were saying a threshold for success for Wendy Davis, it would be at least at 45%. Rick Noriega in the past won 43%. Bill White won 42%. With all of the investment that we expect Wendy Davis to make in terms of up to $40 million, with Battleground Texas, with the shifting demographics of the state, anything less than 45% should be seen as a failure for Texas Democrats.
Now, in Washington, D.C., we have this showdown happening over the funding the government and defunding Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. This seems to be this has the potential to being something's going to break. Something has to break before one side's going to blink. And if it's could this be something that would cause people to reflect on party loyalties? Could this be an issue, something that could drive change in Texas politics, Dr. Flores?
Well, I'm not sure it'll play as far as the primary elections are concerned. The reason is that issue may be resolved by the time the elections come around, and political operatives, political consultants, and professionals are cynical about the memory of voters. They often say that voters only have about a 2-week memory as far as issues are concerned, and so unless the political parties and the campaign organizations can play that particular issue up a certain way and extend the life of that issue up into the general election, I'm not sure how much of an effect it's going to have.
But you don't think this could have a damage the brand for, say, the Republicans if this standoff doesn't go well? Because the standoff they had in 95 with Newt Gingrich, that was about a year out from their midterm elections, and it certainly was hurt their, you know, they lost the House because of it.
Yeah, but I think, you know, part of the issue with the Republican Party is here is that they don't want the state of Texas to turn blue. They don't even want it to turn purple. And they are going to develop their strategies in such a way to prevent that from happening. And one of the ways of doing that is to diffuse this particular issue. I think it's going to be resolved and resolved in sufficient time so it won't be that big of an issue in the general election of 2014.
So Professor Jones, Greg Abbott has done a great job so far of running against Barack Obama. Barack Obama is not going to be on the ballot. Is that going to be good enough to, win the election?
Oh, well, I mean, I think there'll be other factors supporting Abbott. But Barack Obama doesn't need to be on the ballot as Rick Perry showed us back in 2010. He just needs to be president, which he will be. And that's a play, that's something that's like a staple now in the Texas Republican playbook, as well as the playbook of Republicans nationwide, is you run just as much against Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid as you do against your actual opponent. And it's been shown to be relatively effective, and it's especially effective here in Texas, given President Obama's relatively low approval ratings.
So given the factors that we've already pointed out, that Wendy Davis has got to become a transformational candidate in order for her to change the trends that we see today, what does she need to do? What miracles can she pull off in order to stun us and win on that general election day, Professor Jones?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be an incredibly difficult task. Some of the things she would need to do is to peel off a large share of the Anglo woman vote, which has been very important for the Republican Party. She would need to dramatically ramp up Hispanic turnout, which doesn't seem all that likely. She would need to also win a larger share of the Hispanic vote than Democrats have historically won in Texas. And she would probably need Greg Abbott to commit a series of unforced errors along the lines of, say, Todd Akin's abortion comments in Missouri and Steve King's immigration comments in Iowa. Maybe if all of those things happened together, she would be able to win. But the probability of all of those things happening is pretty low. But I do think it's really important to keep in mind that she can win by losing as long as she finishes close. If she does that, then she sets the stage to potentially win the race in 2018, and she definitely knocks Julian Castro out as the heir apparent to the governorship in the state of Texas from the Democratic side.
So you said that high Hispanic turnout would be key towards victory. We're hearing rumors of the possibility that State Senator Leticia Vandeput could join the ticket as a lieutenant governor candidate, and also Senator Yodeste as an attorney general candidate. Would that be something, Dr. Flores, that could rally the Latino voters?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, the equation for Wendy Davis is all those turnout issues that my colleague mentioned. And I think the high Hispanic turnout, the Hispanic voters are going to respond to Leticia Vandeput and Carlos Sudesti. And the other part of the equation is it was a unified ticket at the top of the Democratic Party. Good use of rhetoric, political rhetoric, in taking the gaffes that Abbott has made so far and carrying them through in her campaign. and then some really good positions on public policy. And that's a strength that Uresti or Vandeput bring to the ballot, is that they've got long histories in both the House and the Senate. They've got a good grasp of public policy issues, and they'll be able to, I think, put forth some good positions on.
Now, I'm hearing that already we're near the auditorium where Wendy Davis is going to announce that signs are popping up saying, Wendy, baby killer. And so abortion, obviously, is going to be a big part of this campaign because, of course, Wendy Davis's filibuster. Is that going to be a loser for Wendy Davis? Professor Jones?
I think it really depends on which narrative wins out. If it's the narrative of Wendy Davis protecting women from this Republican war on women, and she can frame it as a broader issue that linking the abortion rights to women's health care, to the, for instance, the fact that the Republicans are unlikely to have a single woman on their statewide non-plural plural executive ticket for the first time since the 80s. If she can link it into that, then it's more of a positive for her. If, on the other hand, we focus on the narrow issue of abortion, it's probably not a positive issue for her, especially since on the issue of the ban of abortion after 20 weeks, which she was involved in opposing, that position places her in the pronounced minority here in Texas. About maybe only 30% of the population shares her opinion on that issue.
All right. Well, this is not over yet. It's just not even started, really. It doesn't start until Wendy Davis announces later today. I want to thank both of our guests, Mark P. Jones, professor of political science at Rice University, and here in the studio, Henry Flores, a professor of political science at San Antonio's St. Mary's University. We will be talking about this campaign as the days go on. This is The Source on KSTX. We're going to be right back after the NPR News. Stay with us.